In my hand are four coins, a quarter, a nickel, a penny, and a dime. On the quarter, there is the noble face of George Washington with a ponytail. On the nickel, Thomas Jefferson with an even longer ponytail with a larger bow in it. And then you have Abraham Lincoln, who already was way ahead of the trend of a chin strap beard. And then you have FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, clean shaven here, looking very serious. All of them look resolute, strong, masculine, and as the mighty men of history who they were purported to be, wielding great power in their day. All people who were set in authority in this nation, in Canada and Latin America, in Europe, on their coins you will see the likenesses of princes, princesses, kings, queens, and in some parts of the world you will see the likeness of dictators and generals on their coins. But even though we carry around the likeness of generals, presidents, and queens in our hands and in our pockets around the world, aren't we the ones who feel like pawns in the hands of those in authority? As the prophet says, bringing to ruin the poor of the land, misusing power at the expense of the weak. We too might feel like we have no say in what government does or who they stand for. In this country, we have the privilege of voting, but it may seem that the impact of our vote is no more than pouring a cup of water into the lake right next door, Lake Michigan. This is a feeling of helplessness and hopelessness in the face of power. It's even changed the language that we use. We talk about the system. We talk about the powers that be. Privilege. We talk about the collective powers as the man. We are weeks away from a presidential election that seems to be making everyone anxious, no matter what their political persuasion is. My kids ask me how it is that we have narrowed down the candidates for president, and yet we seem to have so little choice. That is the feeling of powerlessness, that there is nothing we can do for positive change in our world. No one we can talk to in the higher ups so that we can all live peaceful and quiet lives. Thankfully, our scripture has much more of an optimistic outlook to give us, especially at this time that we need it. Paul's words in our epistle remind us of the truth that we often forget, that queens and kings and presidents and dictators and generals and all people in authority are also human. They're flesh and blood. Every human, he reminds us, are part of God's plan. Paul urges that we pray for kings, that we pray for the emperor, even the likeness of Nero who persecuted Christians, that we pray for these people in power as a reminder that we do what we often forget to do. Rather than complain or wallow in our powerlessness and our hopelessness, we accept God's invitation to participate in what he is doing through prayer and praying for our leaders. Our leaders are not just in authority and over us, as it were. They don't just possess power. The scripture reminds us that they too are under authority. They're subject to the power themselves. As my wrestling coach used to say to me when I was so fearful of an opponent, he said, "Tom, that guy over there also puts his pants on one leg at a time." George Washington's teeth were not carved out of wood. They were made out of hippopotamus ivory. Thomas Jefferson took a pair of scissors to the Bible to cut out the passages he didn't like. Abraham Lincoln was under constant threat of assassination in his life. And FDR was crippled by polio at age 39. They were all human. They needed the prayers of God's people in their day. And our leaders need our prayers in ours. God's desire for them and God's desire for us is to give us the same benefits of the gospel, especially the ones that we enjoy as Christians: forgiveness, life, and salvation, and the assurance that He is with us and will give us His wisdom and guidance. Responsibility and power can weigh heavy on our leaders, especially for those that understand what they have been given. They too can be led into temptation and the misuse of power. They too are under threat of evil. When we see their humanity and when we see their position also under God, we can begin to have compassion and to love our neighbors, even if those neighbors are a most powerful neighbor. We pray for their strength and wisdom. We pray for their health and integrity. We pray that they would not be led into temptation. We pray, deliver them from evil. We pray not just because it is the right thing to do, but because they genuinely need our prayers. It's the way Jesus talked to Pontius Pilate and to Herod, understanding that they were not just wielding power, but they were also ruled themselves. Barack Obama is said to be the most powerful person in the world as President of the United States. That's another reason we ought to be praying for him and for our prospective president. There are leaders all over the world who prey upon the weak and the poor, just as Amos says, bringing to ruin the poor and the needy. They exploit the people they are supposed to serve. They persecute and kill our brothers and sisters all around the world because they bear the name of Jesus. We need to pray about that. God wants us to participate in what He is doing in all areas of life, not just the church, but also in society and globally. On all four of these coins, there's a little but powerful reminder that we are blessed to have. All four of these coins say, "In God we trust." A reminder that even those who bear their resemblance on this are accountable to our Creator, and that no one is above authority and the strength of Almighty God. But even more importantly, we should be reminded, encouraged, and encouraged that God's love has no bounds. Our scripture says He desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He lived and died and rose for the world. We often forget that this includes our leaders, those in office in the city, state, our nation, and the nations around the world. God has these women and men in authority, but also within His reach, within His grasp. They are part of His plan. They are in His heart, and they are in His mind. And for us, they're just one prayer away. For our scripture says, there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and humanity, who gave Himself a ransom for all. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die and rise again for both king and pauper, queen and commoner, president, and all of those in authority, and all of us who are under authority. And so we pray to Him because He is able to do more than we ask or even imagine, as our text reminds us. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He holds the whole universe in His palm, in His power, and sustains it. He has already changed for generations the hearts of queens and kings, pharaohs, Caesars, emperors, presidents, prime ministers, dictators, and generals. He changed the heart of the Apostle Paul, who wrote this text, who once misused his power and authority to persecute our sisters and brothers in Christ. And He even changes the hearts of the likes of me and you. And so He invites us to pray and participate, to experience His grace on all levels, and to celebrate the spreading of life and love everywhere and to everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.